You are listening to
Rural Voices,
the Rural Youth Europe podcast.
Welcome back to Rural Voices, the Rural Youth Europe podcast. And it is our last ever Co-Criado podcast special. We have been following the Co-Criado project since the beginning, back in early 2022, when it all began. And in our last episode, we were at the final conference in Brussels, where I got to catch up with some of the project partners. But from the start, this project has had a real focus on youth. And a big part of Rural Youth Europe's involvement was the recruitment of the Co-Criado Ambassador Network. The aim was to build a community of young people that co-create innovative solutions that overcome obstacles for farmers. It was all about repositioning the farmer within the food supply chain, and we had such a strong group of ambassadors join us on trainings over the past couple of years. They exchanged ideas and learnt from each other. In this final Co-Criado podcast episode, I chat to one of the ambassadors, Peter Schön, a farmer from Austria. We talk about his Co-Criado experience, how it has impacted his farming business, and his hopes for the future of the project. Here's a taste of what's to come.
The Co-Criado project was growing on me as I was growing as a farmer, basically. And I thought, you know, for me as a small vegetable farmer, public procurement is not gonna play a role in my life. But I was never so wrong in my life. We can all dream big, but with one eye on the local context and then, you know, a network of experts in the background, we can just find unique solutions that are needed for our country, village, city, whatever, you know, or even for the whole of Europe.
You are listening to
Rural Voices,
the Rural Youth Europe podcast.
Hello, my name is Peter. I come from Austria. I live in the east of Austria and I run a small vegetable farm, a market garden. For the last 3 years, I've been a Co-Criado ambassador for short food supply chains.
Yes, and tell us more about your farm in Austria. What's your background with farming?
I'm quite new to the world of farming, to be honest. I bought this farm, like the house and farm, just a few months before I joined the Co-Criado project. The Co-Criado project was growing on me as I was growing as a farmer, basically. My personal background, my grandparents had a farm, but at one point it was just not able to live from farming alone anymore for them. It was a very small mixed farm with they were producing grains and wine. So I always had this, like two generations back, there was a farm, but they had to give up. And it's always been my dream to do this again. But I had to, you know, I had to start learning everything without anybody there to show me. And well, now I'm running a farm. It's kind of working, to be honest. It's tough. Because, you know, I started a new business.
And you're 5 years into that journey now. How is it going now? What are you growing at the moment? How's it going?
Like, we're in the middle of the season. Tomatoes are about to get to ripen. And we've harvested a lot of, you know, green peas and salads and radishes. There is the first cucumbers and courgettes. You know, I try to have a good offer of everything that people may or may not need.
Yeah, amazing. And where exactly are you selling your produce?
So at the moment, I'm exclusively selling at the farmer's market in the nearest town, Oberwart. It's like 10 kilometers from my home. It's once a week on Saturdays, and it's just a great place because it's a very vibrant market, even though it's a small town. And I can get everything there, everything I need, from starting from bread or to vegetables, sausages, eggs, oil, like whatever you could need in the kitchen, you could get it there for a good price directly from a farmer.
Yeah, amazing. And I mean, this project, as you know, is all about shortening food supply chains. What motivated you in the first place to sign up to become a co-creator ambassador? Was it purely because, you know, you were at the early stages of your business and you wanted to join a kind of network?
To be honest, that was part of the motivation, but I wouldn't have applied if it was just for that, because I feel like everyone has to contribute something. And if I'm just looking for a network, I think co-creator is not the right place. It's more like if people bring a network already or bring great ideas already. And for me, the starting point was approximately 5 years ago also, when I was doing a course about politics in agriculture, organized by the Austrian Organization for Small and Mountain Farmers. And the Austrian branch, they organized this course. I was taking it. I learned so much about how agriculture works, basically, in not agriculture itself, but the politics behind it, how the funding system is organized, how it's trading is organized and stuff like that. And I really felt like, you know, also from my experiences with food waste, things do have to change. And over the years, I've been working with a local seed saving company and a local small farmers association. And I was just feeling like this is a great opportunity for me personally to get involved with people from other countries in Europe and just find ideas for solutions for these very complex problems.
And can you take me yourself back to that first training in Brussels? It was back in March 2022. How did you find that first training, and what kind of were your first impressions of the project?
Yeah, let me take you back to that time. March 2022 was, for me, at least in my impression, it was directly after the whole pandemic thing. And for me, unrelated to co-creator, but it was the first journey, the first trip outside of Austria in like 2 years. And it just felt surreal from that point of view. But then meeting 40 people after all this social distancing and everything, it was quite overwhelming. And then, you know, everyone had a story to tell. Everyone had ideas, and it was in the beginning, almost a bit too much to get to know so many people at the same time with so many background stories and so many like initiatives going on. So the first 2 days, I think I was just, you know, trying to stay on top of everything. But then, you know, some people, you know, some faces, and it was getting more clear where the journey will lead. The first few days were not easy for me because of the intensity of it.
Yeah.
But then once you get used to it, it's just a very fruitful environment.
Yeah, absolutely. And since then, we've had a training in Pamplona. We've had another training in Riga. Looking back over the whole project then, what were some of your highlights?
I would say, you know, after first training, it was a lot to digest. And then a few months later, we met again in Pamplona. And in Pamplona, I mean, what should I say? Go to Spain. The food is great. The weather was great. The wine was great. And it was just Pamplona was, for me personally, a workshop about public food procurement, which is a topic that I have never thought about before. And I thought, you know, for me as a small vegetable farmer, public procurement is not gonna play a role in my life. But I was never so wrong in my life. And it was just a lot of these moments where, you know, I had quite clear ideas about things, but then I realized I have not seen the whole picture.
Was there anything in particular from a different ambassador that really stands out that you've found really interesting? So maybe one of your fellow ambassadors, you thought, wow, that is really interesting. Maybe I could use that in my business. That's made me think in a different way.
One thing that definitely stuck with me was the idea of duckweed farming from Daniel Long from Ireland. He's a dairy farmer, and there are some problems in Ireland with runoff water, with like excess nitrogen in Ireland, but also in other countries. And they use duckweed, which is quite simple ingenious aquatic plant that grows on every pond. Everyone knows it. It's the green stuff that grows on top of every pond in the world, probably. And they just found out that this plant is probably the best protein crop to grow on wastewater bodies. And you can use it to feed chickens. You can use it to feed fish. You can compost it. You can make biogas from it. You can make a lot of things from it, and it grows easily on unused like canals around farms and stuff like that, where we have huge problems with nutrients and eutrophication and stuff like that. And I was like, I'm always thinking of how to close cycles on my farm, like nutrient cycles, like just become more efficient, become a bit more independent or self-sustainable on the farm, because the less I have to buy, the less fertilizer, the less compost or animal feed I have to buy, the better it is, I believe personally.
Overall, has this project, you know, has it given you optimism that we can reposition the farmer within the food supply chain and we can shorten food supply chains? Has it made you more optimistic?
Yes, it has made me more optimistic, but I really have to say, and I think this is what I share with most of the ambassadors, we were optimistic before already. We knew, because nobody would join the project to change the world of farming if they wouldn't believe in it. So this was a great vibe, because with 40 people from so many different countries and backgrounds, and we were just different people. So there's different ideas coming together, and every day when we were together, there was a new idea. And then somebody else said, okay, this can work, this cannot work. And we were just following every possibility. And yes, it has given me more optimism. And I think this is what we need, optimism and people who really know what they're talking about. And this is what I had during the time in Cocoriado, and what I'm very happy to still have for the years to come.
Yeah, exactly. And speaking of that, I mean, you recently spoke at the final conference, and there are a few of the other ambassadors there, and there were lots of talks about the future of Cocoriado, even though the project has officially ended. Moving forwards, where do you see the future of Cocoriado?
You know, to be honest, we're not exactly sure where it will be going, because the plan was to create a non-profit organization, which we have created, to have an organization around the legal body to be able to offer services to continue our work. And we found out that most of our ambassadors, me included, are very active in their local context, and most of them are farmers, and time is really critical for most of us. So we do not have the, I don't want to say the will, but the time to really start our own organization. But I see Cocoriado in the future as a network of very skilled individuals, very knowledgeable individuals. And we are sort of a platform for knowledge exchange, probably, because there is 40 people in this network of Cocoriado, but then each of us has either a local network in their country, or even bigger in all over Europe. These people, Cocoriado ambassadors, are well connected, and if we have an idea, we can easily test it by just throwing it out in the network, you know. If we think we found the solution to all the problems in farming, I know I'm just one email away to ask 40 people in Europe, and they can ask hundreds of more people to test this idea. And this is one of the great strengths of this network, I believe.
Absolutely. And would you encourage anyone listening to this who has similar passions to you, would you encourage people to get in touch with the network? You say it's sort of a knowledge sharing platform. Is that something that you'd encourage?
Definitely. Yeah, then definitely. Because, I mean, we just saw that every additional person adds value. I mean, of course, they have to have some shared views with the Cocriado ambassadors, because the role of the farmer has been changing over time. But we believe the farmer should be an independent actor that, you know, provides the society with food, essentially. You know, the local context in farming is very important. And so we have some, you know, criteria for our mission, but in the end, I think everyone who has a passion for farming or food and wants to still have good food and good farming practices in the future is more than happy to reach out.
Very exciting. Is there any final words that you'd like to say to people listening to this when it comes to, you know, that mission in encouraging people to sort of get on board with that idea of shortening food supply chains and repositioning the position of the farmer?
Everyone has the ability to change the world in their proximity. You know, we cannot change the whole world, but we can have a strong influence on the people around us, on our surroundings. And I think everyone has to identify what they can do to make farming better, to make the future of farming more, you know, inclusive. And we can all dream big, but with one eye on the local context, and then, you know, a network of experts in the background, we can just find unique solutions that are needed for our country, village, city, whatever, you know, or even for the whole of Europe.
Yeah, exactly. Very well said. Well, thank you, Peter, for joining me on the podcast. I wish you all the best with the farm, and I really hope that motivation to make a difference to the food system remains, because you are such a great ambassador for that. Please keep us updated with where Cocriado goes and the success stories that come out of it, and within the network, Rural Youth Europe is very much behind you.
Thank you for having me here, Dan, and thank you also to Rural Youth and the podcast for covering Cocriado so well and leading us a bit through the whole journey.
There we go. We have come to the end of this podcast and the end of the Cocriado project. But as Peter said, I'm sure it is not the end of the Ambassador Network. If you feel inspired about the Cocriado mission and what we've been chatting about here on the podcast, there are loads of ways for you to find out more information. Peter spoke about how the project had opened his eyes about public procurement. Well, in the last podcast episode recorded in Brussels, I had a fascinating chat with Marco from the Joseph Stefan Institute in Slovenia, all about exactly that. Also, you can find out more about Daniel Long's duckweed enterprise that Peter spoke about in our Pamplona episode. That's episode 6 of series 3 of Rural Voices. You can find all 6 Cocriado podcast episodes on the Rural Youth Europe website, so go back and listen to find out more. We've also uploaded a new blog on the Rural Youth Europe website with a brief overview of Cocriado and Rural Youth Europe's first Horizon 2020 project. There's also lots of information over on the Cocriado website, which includes the Food System Innovator Toolkit, which is packed full of practical advice, tips, and sources of inspiration to support reconnecting consumers and producers. It's well worth having a look. That's it for the Cocriado project here on Rural Voices, but we will be back in a couple weeks with a brand new episode straight from the 2024 European Rally in Estonia. See you there.
You are listening to Rural Voices,
the Rural Youth Europe podcast.